Be'ezus Hashem's book will begin Perek Shlishi, the third chapter in the Rambam's Hilchos Bechoris and laws of the firstborn animal, and the Sefer Karbonos, and the laws of individual Karbonos. Where in this Perek we continue the theme of the previous Perek regarding the halacha of the firstborn animal that's blemished. In this Perek we discussed regarding the inspection of the blemish, which is to verify that it is a blemished animal, and also regarding the shearing of the wool of a blemished animal. As we begin halacha of discussing the laws of inspecting the blemish. One is not allowed to slaughter the firstborn animal for individual purposes, that it's a blemished animal, only based on that of a professional. That the nasi, the leader in Eretz Yisrael, has given him permission to do this job. And he told him, you could permit the firstborn animals in this blemished state. Even if it's a great blemish, which is openly revealed to everyone that it's blemished, it could only be permitted by the professional who has taken permission from the nasi to do this job. And a person, a professional, could see all types of firstborn animals to permit it, except for his own firstborn animals. Now, look at base. Let's say there is no professional. And the blemish was a well-open blemish that's pretty distinct. Its eye is blind. Its hand is cut off. Or its foot is broken off. Then, in that situation, it can be slaughtered by three people from the shul. Or let's say the firstborn animal went out of Eretz Yisrael. The novel by Mum Muvak and developed a pretty clear cut and blemish. How it's a Utah Pishlesh ben Akinesis, again, then it could be permitted by three people from the shul. Halacha Gimel. Ein Roi Nesu Bechor Yisrael. However, one cannot see by a mumcha, a firstborn animal for a Yisrael, actually a coin nimo until he has a coin with him. Why? Because Shem Gimel and mumcha, maybe the professional is going to tell him, yeah, mumu, it's a blemish, and mutalish chidla bilah slaughtered and use it for own personal uses. Excuse me. And v'yelech v'shchatin l'atzmoy. Now, so then, he's going to go slaughter it for himself. He's not going to give it to the kohen because, oh great, we could go out and we could have dinner tonight. Now, what does that mean? Although we don't suspect the Yisrael to eat kachim out of the base of Migdosh, because you see he's coming to ask the mumcha if it's blemished and you're allowed to slaughter it, or if it's unblemished and it would be forbidden, so we're not suspecting for that. Evidently from that he's coming to the mumcha. But yeah, chashu shaligzol matnas kohen, but we do suspect him for stealing their kohana gifts, where slaughtering kachim out of the Beis HaMikdash is a punishment of kars. That he would be concerned for. Stealing from the kohanim is only a negative prohibition. That we suspect him, and therefore we cannot permit unless there's a kohen right there to take it from him. Lefikir, therefore, emoye chacham, but if he was a sage, the yiduush u'medakti galatzma, and it's known that he's very careful regarding himself, regarding halacha, then rightly we would be able to see his firstborn animal if it has a blemish, even without a kohen with him. Now, hayamum gadol akal. Now, so too, if let's say it was a clear-cut blemish, its hand or its foot was cut off. Still, he brings it to the sage who's a professional. Obviously, he's considered as someone who's careful regarding himself, regarding even a very small isser of having to show it to the mumcha because he's not doing kachim b'chutz because it's evident that it's not a kachim because there's a mum. So therefore also it could be seen by the mumcha even though he doesn't have a kain with him. We don't suspect he's going to steal from the kain, not give it to the kain. Halacha Dalet continues regarding checking out the blemishes if it's after it's slaughtered already. Hashechet is a bachar. Let's have been slaughtered the firstborn animal. And then, only then he shows it to the mumcha to check out to see if it's blemished. So even though it's a well-revealed blemish, that doesn't even change through the slaughtering, where obviously that didn't happen after it was slaughtered, where its hand was cut off or its foot was cut off. But since it was slaughtered not through the authority of a professional, also, it's going to be considered forbidden because we make a gzeira, because of situations, even though like this, where it doesn't change the blemish through slaughtering, because of what like dukin shabayin, which are cataracts in the eye, which they actually could change after it's slaughtered, and then we have to be concerned that maybe it was actually a passing blemish, which is not permitted, and only now does it look like a permanent blemish. So therefore, we consider it always as forbidden, and we cover kibachar shemes, and we have to bury it like a firstborn animal that died. Halacha hey, b'chayu shoyis lebeya achas shnei chisim. Now, let's say it's a firstborn animal that had one testicle and two sacs, which is one of the blemishes of an animal. Now, v'doka mukha, and the professional is checking it out, v'hoshibuhu al haraguzoi umeachai, and he sits it on its bottom, and he's squeezing it to see if there's a testicle that's going to come out to make it two testicles, that it's not blemished. V'leyotzos beitzishnei, and the second testicle does not come out. And because of that, because it doesn't come out, v'tira mumcha v'nishchet. So the mumcha says, okay, it's blemished, and he permits it, and it's slaughtered. V'nimtza shnei devuka b'ksav. And then you ultimately find the second testicle that it was just stuck there onto the flanks. Hariza mutta, still it's permitted. Hoy l'miach, since they checked, and they squeezed, and it wasn't visible, so that was permitted. Avalam loy nemach, but if it wasn't squeezed, even though it was slaughtered through that of a professional, here's a cover. Ultimately, it was lacking in the checking, and therefore has to be buried because it was not allowed to be slaughtered because it wasn't really blemished. Halach above continues regarding if one checks it not through a mumcha. Misha in a mumcha. Let's say someone was not a professional. He says, hey, let me take a look at your first banana. And he says, oh, that's a blemish, and it's slaughtered because of what he said. Here's a cover. Has to be buried. And he has to compensate the owner from his own pocket. Now, how much does he have to pay? So, Revi Ladako only has to pay a quarter for small animals, small livestock. Or Mechtz Lagasi has to pay half it for large animals. Now, Nema Lo Yisham Kadamav, why doesn't he have to pay for the whole value where it was inappropriate slaughtered because of him? So, regarding the large animals, because we also penalize the owner of the animal. So that he shouldn't delay, and there's a penalty that he delayed this unblemished animal and didn't sacrifice it. And also, believe God will him a dakabert his soul. And also, by the small livestock, there's an additional penalty because he has small livestock in there, soul, which Acham said you shouldn't do. And therefore, we don't penalize him only half. We actually penalize him 3/4. And this person who inappropriately permitted it pays only a quarter of that loss. Halach HaZayin continues regarding what if, let's say, the professional actually charges for a fee. So, Anitl Scharoi, Lias Roy Bechayis. Let someone charges money to check out the firstborn animals. Ain Shechet Abebinala slaughter based on his word. Elim Kain, Hoyamumcha Gadol. Unless he was really a great professional. The Yodabai Chacham Shein Kamais, and the sages know there's no one like him. Ufoskele Sachar Alariya Babikar. And actually, they set a price for him to charge wages for checking it out and for inspecting. And it has to be specifically Benchen Nimsa Bemum, Benchen Nimsa Tamim. That he always charges. Whether it's found to be blemished or whether it's found to be unblemished. So we don't have to suspect him that because of the fact that he's telling him that it's blemished, he's getting wages for that. Moreover, leitel sachar al behemah zu chutz mipamach. It's not a charge for checking out this animal more than one time. And v'roi yosel lo'ilam kol zman shemevinos, and he has to keep on checking out that animal as long as they bring it to him. Kedish le'yovoy le'dei chashad, that it shouldn't come to be suspicion because we might suspect and say, oh, well, tell him the first time it's unblemished, so he should have to bring it a second time, and he gets to charge him 2 times. No, you can only charge 1 time to check an animal, if it doesn't gain anything by saying it's blemished or unblemished. Halacha Ches continues regarding someone who suspects or sells in a prohibited state. So hachashet al b'chayris, if someone suspects regarding firstborn animals, l'machan l'shem chulun, that he sells it, and the guise that it's really unconsecrated animal. Really, it's his firstborn animal. He has to treat it as kachim. But he sells it like as if it's regular kosher meat. Ein loichem emenu, you cannot buy from that butcher, from that person, even deer meat, which has nothing to do with the firstborn animal, because deer meat is similar to calf meat. And we have to be concerned that maybe he's going to be selling him that really the meat of calf, which is an unblemished bechor, and he's going to say that it's really deer meat. Because we suspect him. He's a suspected individual. Moreover, you can't even purchase from him leather, skins, which weren't tanned yet, which were not turned into leather, because this might be the leather, the hide of an unblemished firstborn animal. And even if it's from a female animal, which obviously doesn't have a Kedusha Bechor, because that's only by male, because it might cut off the genital area of the skin of the animal. Then he's going to say, oh, or in the kevah, it's the skin of a female. So we never let, even if we see that it's a female. And v'eilochim in a tzemer, and I'll purchase him in wool, a filim a lubun, even if it was already whitened, because whitening it doesn't take a lot of effort, and we still have to be concerned that maybe it's the wool of a firstborn animal. And you don't have to say that if it's dirty, where this person didn't put in any effort at all, that for sure we have to be concerned that he's trying to pull the wool over someone's eyes and sell him this inappropriate wool. But you could purchase from him threads of wool because spinning takes a lot of effort, and so too v'oris avudim. You could also purchase from him and levadin, which are rolls of wool which weren't woven yet, and v'oris avudim, and also tanned hides. Why? She'ein ma'abed or b'chari tam, because he would never do that to tan and put in all the effort of tanning, which is a laborious process, if it was really the unblemished firstborn animal. Why? Because it takes a long time to process these things. And he's afraid to hold on to these things too long because the judges might, in the interim, hear about this. They're going to penalize him according to his wickedness. And therefore, he wouldn't want to hold on to something so long. So if this is something that's a process thing, then we could presume that it wasn't forbidden and then you could buy from him. But something that doesn't take a long time, and even something that was already in process, like whiten, then you have to suspect. And since this, the person is suspect, you cannot buy from him. If someone slaughters a firstborn animal and he sells it, now it turns out we find out that it was never shown to the professional, which makes it forbidden. So whatever the consumer had eaten already has eaten, but the seller of the meat that they ate has to give them back their monies that they paid. Whatever was not eaten, Yikov has to be buried. And again, he has to give him back those monies too. And let's say someone ate something that was sold that was really a trefa, that was not kosher, like it's taught in the laws of business dealings and perek design from Michas Mechel Lachid Beis, that he has to compensate them. Whatever they ate, but he still has to compensate them for that. Halacha Yud continues, let's say the firstborn animal is found to be a trefa. So b'chorsh nimtza trefa. If you have a firstborn animal that turns out that has a mortal defect, So if it was unblemished and it was slaughtered in the Azara so that it was to be sacrificed in the Mizbeach, the Nimtza Trefa Achashuvshin was only found out to be a moral defect after it was skinned, but ultimately it's a Trefa, which is not valid. So then the hide has to be burnt. K'meshman Melchus Pesul Mekdoshim explained the laws of invalidated Karbanz Berg Yutes Halacha Tes, and Vahabasa Yikaveh, and the meat has to be buried because it was a Trefa. Now, V'im B'mumay Neshchet, let's say if it's being slaughtered in a blemished state, not as a carbon for the Mizbeach, and turns out it's a trefa after it was skinned, so then habasar yikaver, so then the meat has to be buried, like the law of a bechor that died, where it's a trefa, and the yehon hakoyin b'kahan ba'ar, but here, the kahan could have benefited from the skin. The reason for that is because it wasn't recognized as a trefa until after it was skinned, which, and since at that point, it was already merited by the Kohen, they get to keep it. But again, only was slaughtered based on the professional, because again, if not, then you would have to bury it anyway, and no one can have benefit. But as long as it's slaughtered based on the mumcha, if we ultimately find that it's a trefa, so obviously no one could eat the meat, it has to be buried, but the Kohen get to keep the hide in that place. Halachah Rav continues regarding the shearing of the wool of a firstborn animal. So a firstborn animal that its meat was eaten according to the halacha, Bein tamim, bein bamum, whether because it was unblemished as a carbon, whether blemished as regular psula mikdashin, k'shem shemutl hans ba'are. So just like you let have benefit from the hide and the meat which was eaten, kachnen begizaisav. So do you have benefit from the wool that was shorn from the animal, from the fleece after the animal was slaughtered? Now avol kol tamishin nigzis mimeni kushuchai. But any wool that was shorn from the animal when it was still alive, afilu nasher, and even if it fell out on its own, hari asa bahana, it's forbidden to have benefit from it as a gezerah. Now, even if it fell out from it after it had already developed a blemish, and even after it's slaughtered, in other words, this wool that fell out from it when it was alive, it remains asur even after that it's slaughtered. We don't have to say after that it died, and because the rule is, because that wool that fell out from it when it was alive, it retains its isur even after it's slaughtered, which, if you only had shorn the wool after it was slaughtered, then it would be permitted, but it fell out from when it was still alive, it remains asur, even after it's slaughtered. And so too applies by the tithing of the animals, which the Chum said, forbidden to go ahead and shear the wool, meaning that the shorn wool, even if it fell out by itself, which that isur is, even after it's slaughtered, after that it dies. Ukvar be'an v'hilchis me'ilah, we already explained the laws of me'ilah in Perek Alpha Lacha Yod, that shalagazu gzerizu, that this decree which we're talking about over here, was only decreed el al-bukhar v'al-maisa-bavad, only on these two karbanas, the bukhar and the maisa behema. Why? What is this gzer? Why are we saying it's forbidden? Then they sha'ain them boin l'chapar, because these two animals, unlike most karbanas, are not coming for atonement. So we're concerned, when it's coming for atonement, we're not concerned he's going to hold on to it because he wants atonement. But here it's not coming for atonement, shemei yashmetzlai. He might just hold on to them. He's going to wait. He's not doing any isser. You're not allowed to shear the wool. But it might fall out on its own. So he's like, oh, great. Free wool. Now, the problem with this is we already explained in Perek Av Halachah Ches that it's a mitzvah to eat within its first year, whether it's unblemished or blemished. But he's going to say, oh, chaval, I don't want to lose out this wool. Hold on to it longer than that. So to prevent that from happening, he said, even if it falls out on its own, when it's still alive, even after it's slaughtered, that wool is going to be forbidden to avoid this problem of him holding on to it and thus keeping it past its year. Lachid Beis, Bechor Shoyi Beitzemer Meduvlo. Now, but let's say the first one animal had wool that was detached from the skin when the animal was still alive, but it was still tangled with the rest of the wool that was not detached. Ushchata, and he slaughtered the animal. So it depends. Eishahu nira imay min hagiza, that which when you shear the rest of the wool after it was slaughtered, this wool that's tangled will look like the rest of the wool, which is permitted because you're only taking it off now after it's slaughtered. It will not look separate from that. So much by not, that wool is permitted to have benefit from it, even though really it was already detached when it was still alive. But vasha'ina nirmay, which doesn't look like it's part of it, it looks like it was already detached, it's going to be separate from it because it's detached from when it was still alive. And what type of wool is that? This is wool that the roots are actually facing towards the end. So the two ends are facing outwards, which generally only have one end because the other end is sticking into the animal. Here it's so separated that even the roots are sticking out towards the outside. Then you could tell that it's not from what was just shorn right now. It was from when it was still alive. Then also to be forbidden. Again, because this is like the case of where it already fell off when it was still alive, which again, the Chacham made exer to make it forbidden for Hana, even if it was subsequently slaughtered. Halacha Yud Gimel, Gizas Bechor, the shearing of the wool of the firstborn animal, Filabam Mum, which we said that when we said this was Oster, this shearing of the wool before was slaughtered. So, Filabam Mum, even from a blemished Bechor, let's say it gets mixed in with other fleece, the other shearings of the wool of unconsecrated animals. Even one in many thousands, this one of the forbidden bechor, and that of many thousands of the chulin, the all forbidden, because it's considered something significant, and therefore makes it forbidden, even the minute amount. Now, that's just the shearings of the wool itself. Now, if someone weaves the measurement of a sit, which is the measurement of two fingers, from the wool of the firstborn animal in the garment, so you have to burn that garment because it's forbidden. From the wool of karbonis, from other sacrifices, there mekadosh b'kolshu, there it sanctifies even a minute amount because mukdashin are able to be redeemed, unlike that of a bechor, which cannot be redeemed. So therefore, it has a more severe level of what's called davashish l'matirin. It has a way of permitting it where it's not going to be nullified even in a thousandth. So therefore, there it's more severe, and even the minute amount is going to make that whole garment forbidden.